強いね。
The podcast。
Jane Adventures。
Everything seems so right, my baby girl, my Sarah。
Jane Adventures。
You are all I want to know, you hold my heart, so don't let go。
Of the share/listen/subscribe/download button, thanks。
Potterhoocast。
The Sarah Jane Adventures Series 4 Episodes 3 and 4 The Death of the Doctor and the Empty Planet Parts 1 and 2.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm...
We're not doing this. We're not doing this. Please stop. I don't want to talk about the implications of Whitest Man Alive. I know. I just need to say before I make this joke, I do not actually care about this. But I think it's funny to see Whitest Man Alive, Matt Smith, replace a black kid.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I need to emphasize so nobody takes out of context, I do not actually give a shit. I just think it's funny.
There's no one else. We're the only people left.
Oh yeah, because we're the only people left.
Yeah, except Gavin
in the planet.
Death of the Doctor / the Empty Planet. It's not empty. This is the thing. It's called the Empty Planet. It's not empty. Empty implies there's something inside of it. It's the deserted planet, not the empty planet. I can't say deserted properly.
Look, it was a time of confusion. It was a time of fear. They didn't have time to figure out exactly what verb to use, what adjective to use.
It was
the planet was empty. I don't know if you noticed, but the planet was empty. There's nobody else.
Wow, except Gavin.
It was only three people. One of whom was very, very boring.
Mm-hmm. But before all that, Death of the Doctor, broadcast 25th and 26th of October 2010. What was top of the box office, do you think, on the 25th, 26th of October 2010?
2010.
14 years ago.
This is October, right? So this is October. So I'm going to guess it's a Halloween movie?
It is in the sense that it's a scary movie that they released at Halloween. It's not a Halloween TM movie, but...
But it's a scary movie. It's a scary sequel. It's a scary sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the second movie or is it after the second?
It's a second movie in this franchise.
Is it in 3D?
See, I don't remember if it was or not. There's no 3D in the title yet. Mm.
I was going to guess my Bloody Valentine 3D, but...
No, I will say it's a franchise that isn't, like, one of the... It, in theory, it's known, but it's known for the first entry, and then no one really talks about the sequels.
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, and Paranormal Activity 2. Top of the old...
Got it.
Top of the old BO. Written by Ashley Way. Which way, Ashley? Written by...
No way. Ashley Way.
Ashley Way? No way. This can't be Mary-Kate Way. This can't be right. It says written by Russell T. Davies. That's really weird, because I thought he left. Oh.
Well, he still had... Yeah. He still had a lot of fun to give us in Sarah Jane Adventures.
He definitely was not
running on fumes.
Mm-hmm. It definitely isn't one that is, well, we'll get to in a sentence, as we often do.
I feel like we need to say this. I mean, I'm thinking back to our previous episode on the Nightmare Man and the Vault of Secrets and how utterly bored we were.
Yeah.
Just completely bored. And I think something happened here that I think there's something happened, because series four so far, utterly juiceless.
Mm-hmm.
Like drinking juice from a pulp. like just squeezing so much and getting like two to three drops of juice, and most of the time those drops of juice come in the form of a little person called Elizabeth Sladen, who's still batting 100. Mm-hmm. But there's something about this season that is just not working for me. And I think you might ask yourself, like, oh, every previous season has had that problem of being boring. But even in its boringness, right? Even in its utmost boringness, there was still something a little bit interesting in each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And in these ones, it is genuinely hard to stay awake.
Well,
I was surprised to see an episode featuring the main character of this franchise, who at no point does it look like he is A, interested, or B, in the same room as I mean, he is in the same room, but I'm talking like metaphorically, in the sense like it seems like he is literally in another dimension.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's okay. So in the sentence, there's alien vultures and a random unit commander, and they almost trick Sarah Jane and Joe Grant into thinking the Doctor is dead because they want to use their memories and get a TARDIS key to eliminate death from the universe, I guess. But the two former companions overload the machine they're using and save the day.
They basically do what 13 did in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
They make a montage. They do a montage.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, bah, 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 bah. I mean, it doesn't, but it should have got bah, bah, bah,
well,
bah, bah, bah,
well, it does. What it does instead is it plays the unit theme song for like 2 seconds. You know, so like every single second, it's like
That's the unit song, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like they, it's because you have to know that they're a unit, even though they say they're a unit every single 2 seconds. You saw they get
So, can we just talk about the plan of the villains? So the villains' plan is they're gonna pretend the Doctor died so that they can get two of his 80 companions to remember the TARDIS key so they can open the TARDIS and stop death.
Yeah.
At Marvel plot, we've gotta talk about how it seems like they're taking way too long a road for a very short conclusion. The equivalent of going to France to buy a baguette. Like that's kind of what they're doing. But then the question I have is, what's the deal with the fucking unit?
It's really flimsy because they throw in a line of paraben like, oh, there's nothing left for me here. I want to go see the stars. And it's like, that's literally the entire crux of her being involved. But it's a lot of things.
Miss. You work in unit. Yeah, are you telling me the only way you can get out of the planet is by aligning yourself with vultures? Can't you go on a rocket like everyone else seems to do in your fucking company?
Can I suggest something to you about this one? A lot of things were thrown out without much much thought. For example, I do like the opening where like it's just like a random conversation and he realizes, oh, it's because they're gonna set up that Luke is gay, you know. And that's a really interesting opening, even though it's kind of just a really weird like
Hold on. I'm sorry, real quick. I straight up thought I dreamt you posting about Luke being gay.
No, it is but also
What are we talking about? He's making a joke. Is that like a thing? Does he come back and he says,
"It's meant
I'm gay"?
It is meant to be. They wanted Russell to make him. There's a whole thing with Luke that they have lined up, behind the scenes. They wanted him to be gay. I'm trying to remember if it was Russell who was like, I don't have time. They did something that were like, there's a line in The Nightmare Man they cut that was going to be like, you know, Luke was going to say, oh, I could have a boyfriend in college. And Sarah Jane's like, I don't mind. Sansa's the bean. I don't care. But they cut the lines from that. And then the whole intention was, oh, he's going to be like, he's going to be gay, you know? But then obviously they have like, what, like 4 episodes left. And then it doesn't really happen. But in the like funeral minis that they do where Jacob Dunman's in like a closet being like, you know, and then Sarah Jane's friend, Mr. Smith appeared in the window. In that one, they have him and Sanjay married for 5 years. So it is like it is like setting that up, but it's so thrown into like the mix with like I don't know what. They just kind of feel it lands very strangely as like a beat here.
It's that scene from the end of the 60 where they're like, Sanjay, I love that man.
It's like that, and like there's just so much stuff that just happens, and then they're like, oh, we'll move on. Like the Grosk. I do kind of like the Grosk. The Grosk's, he's got pizza, you know, he's hanging out. He's not really doing much, but he's
the
just
Grosk gonna... seems like it'll be an important part of the plot, but it's not. I'm just here too.
Something else thrown out that doesn't really work is the performance of Iron Fist as Joe Grant's grandson.
Yeah,
not very good. Not very good.
And he doesn't have much to do.
No one has anything to do.
No one has anything to do.
Joe Grant's just here for a plot that came in.
Remembering,
great.
Remembering.
But they just don't use her very well at all. No one's used very well.
That's the thing. Katie Manning is fantastic. There's the moment where Sarah Jane is like, and then I saw him again twice. Mm-hmm. And Katie Manning does this thing with her face. She's like, oh, he saw you twice. Mm-hmm. He saw me never.
we do like we'll talk about Matt though in a second, but like we do get that really nice I think it's a really nice moment where like, you know, she says to him, oh, you like, you never came back to see me and I always wanted you to come back to see me, and he's like, well, no, actually I did. But like that whole moment's kind of undercut then by him, and like, oh yeah, I went to see everyone when I thought I was dying, you know, I saw all of you.
I think the idea is he went to see everyone because
he thought, yeah, because it was his last,
because he thought it was his last. But also when he's in the vent, he says 500 and I'm falling asleep as I'm saying this.
I need to know how long they had him for, because it feels like they had him for maybe like a day or two, and like they gone to the quarry to film that stuff, and they're like, okay, get to the corridor and go to the set, and then you're done for the day, Matt. Because like he doesn't get much to do. For an episode about his death, he's in for like maybe 10 minutes tops. It is interesting, like in this and in Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, they hold off introducing him as a character until like the cliffhanger for part one, and then in part two, he's kind of like, you know, they have him for like maybe an afternoon, so they have him just film like all these like scenes early on.
Here's the thing, though. That episode is called The Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith. This episode is called Death of the Doctor. I feel like this episode was fated to not work, because when you get to that funeral scene and it's just a bunch of random extras sitting looking sad, and you're like, if this is the death of the doctor, where's everyone else? Like you're telling me you couldn't even, like, Martha? Doesn't Martha work for UNIT? Is she busy? Like, is she busy to, like, to go talk to, go see her friend who just died?
They mentioned two companions. They mentioned the Brigadier, who's in Peru again. I don't think Courtney had died this, but I think he was probably, he might have been unwell. And then they mention Liz Shaw being on the moon. I think Caroline John might have died by this point. I don't think she had, though. Like, they're the only two people they mention. There's no, like, you know, like you said, fucking Martha. The only mention we get after that is, like, the end where, like, Sarah Jane's like, oh, yeah, you know. And there's Tegan.
And here's what happened to everyone.
I want to know,
Caroline John died in 2012, so...
So she was still
alive. She was... She was still alive. Why didn't she not get the call? Why did William Russell not get the call?
What?
Like, well, are you telling me he's really that busy? No offense to the guy, but well, by this point,
like, I don't know, because like the she might have been, like, they might have been ill, but like the thing about William Russell is that they say like, oh yeah, I know. They say like, they say Barbara and Ian haven't aged a day since 1960, and then like 10 years later,
2022.
Ian's like,
no offense. No, again, no offense.
Yeah.
He does look old in that episode.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just nothing.
Ironically enough, the one I do think they could not get because she was really busy was Mel. I would buy that. Mel. Yeah,
she was in space.
I mean, I would buy, because Bonnie Langford books.
Mm-hmm.
They call her Bookie Langford. She books.
But she books. She hadn't found the Zingo to come back yet, though. She was still in space. Honey, now
that shut the fuck up.
What
I need to explain to the audience that whenever I do that voice, I'm doing Peter McNichol. That's what I'm doing. Just stand there like, shut the fuck up. He's the best. I love the way he screams. If you really want to like see some good screams, look up Peter McNichol and Veep. It is the best like screaming in the world. Just him going, shit, you, like, just the most angry. Anyway, Bonnie Langford is one of those things where like I found out about her because of, you know, I found out about her because of Doctor Who, and then I later found out that she has an extensive career outside of Doctor Who. Like, Jesus. To the point that Doctor Who is kind of a fucking, like, footnote in her life. She was in Anything Goes.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think there might be a shot. I don't think it'll happen. I got my fingers crossed. I don't think it'll happen. But again, fingers crossed. I just found out that Sondheim's Old Friends, the review that they put on at the West End last year, is coming to L.A., and they have confirmed Bernadette Peters and Lea Salonga to be in the review when it comes here to the U.S. My fingers are crossed for Bonnie Langford. I want to line up on that fucking stage door. I want to say, shut the fuck up, Bernadette. Get out of my face, Lea. Bonnie. Like, I want to really get a signature from her.
Bonnie, can you send me a copy of The Six Doctor Adventures, War Worlds? And then you hand her a copy of the finish. She flings it away. She's like, get the fuck out of here.
She shoots me.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so many people who I'm like, why couldn't you get them? Well, yeah. I mean, it just feels so big to be like, yeah, guys, the doctor died. And this is his funeral. But again, like going back to what we were saying, like it is such a roundabout way of getting what you want. There have to be easier ways to get the TARDIS key. One of whom might be getting it from the Doctor himself. Also, like, couldn't you have said like, yeah, you know, the Doctor gave me a TARDIS key. And that the vultures want to steal it. That's it. And now we don't need to do this whole like remember thing.
Iron Fist can go back to fighting crime. The Gross can stay at home, have some pizza. They can, I don't know, like, it's just. It's nutty, freaky, loop de loop, tonto, barmy, bonkers.
Katie Manning should have joined the team full time.
She probably, like, you probably could do, like, because I mean, like, the three Doctors Tales of the TARDIS setup is her and Clyde. You could probably get, like, a series going, like, you know, Joe Grant and Iron Fist fight the Chumblies and the. Like we are missing, because like the only spin off we have is obviously going to be like, you know, Sea Devils or whatever. Like, we're missing, like,
or Unit or Kate Stewart.
We're missing,
Kate Stewart didn't exist by this point. Yeah,
I know the demographics have changed like considerably, and like CBBC is now like a fucking iPlayer channel. But like, we are missing like a kind of a younger kind of thing. Like, even just do like an animated, like, you know, series or something. Just get something in there.
I just want to read this little bit. Apparently, in the plot description for Power of the Doctor, when they're describing the support group, mm-hmm. they say, looking around at his friends, alongside Ian Chesterton, Joe Jones, Melanie Bush, and one empty chair. Because everybody remembers that chair that was clearly set up to have a Zoom cameo.
It should have been, I don't know, Polly. Polly could have zoomed in. Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I have to say is that it's literally the ending of Aliens of London, kind of. But not really. There's something else to really talk about, I think. Because, of course, the next one is so much to say. So much to say.
What else do we have to say about Death of the Doctor? Okay, the Scarlet Monstrosity is such an RTD monster name.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good, like, throw off name that he's going to explain later, and you're going to be like, you need to explain it. He's like, but I know I'm doing it. It's like, yeah, but you didn't need to explain it. Anyway, and then I do want to point out, it is weird to have Sarah Jane be like, the evil vultures, and somebody goes, Sarah Jane, don't judge people by the cover. Mm-hmm. And then she's right, though. Like, she's absolutely right. They are evil vultures.
But the thing is that, like, as well, every single other instance in the saying of judging books by covers has been proven to be correct. Like, the Slitheen and Andravax and all that shit. Like, every single thing that's been saying, like, oh, don't judge that person because, like, you know, they look evil or they have evil history. You know, they might be good, and then it turns out they're evil. It's happened every single time. It happened again this time, where, like, you know, it's a really weird, like, thing to do, I think. But I don't know. I'm kind of done. If you're done, we'll hop on to Zingo and go to...
The Empty Planet.
The Empty Planet.
All right, The Empty Planet.
Where is the sun and air?
Right there. They're after me. You're helping them.
There is nobody there.
Are you blind? He's right
there. You have something to say right now, right? Well, uh-huh. I'm going to stop you and just say something first, which is I hate this Gavin kid. I hate
sucks.
His fucking face so much.
Oh, Gavin, The Empty Planet, broadcast 1st and 2nd November 2010. It's winter. What was number one? At the old BO.
Is it not Paranormal Activity 2?
It's not. There's a new sequel that's after Rising Up that has a gimmick you referenced earlier on.
3D. It's not my Bloody Valentine.
No.
3D.
It is a bloody movie that's in 3D, though. It's a very funny movie to be in 3D. It is a horror film as well.
What?
It's a horror sequel. That's in 3D. It's one of those sequels where, like, why is this a 3D movie? And then they have, like, one sequence that's designed to be in 3D, and they go, that's why.
Is it Saw?
It's Saw 3D.
Okay.
Saw 3D has one of the funniest 3Ds. I love the Saw movies because they're so silly. But as one of the funniest, like, 3D sequences.
That's the one where the poster is them building a giant Tobin
Bell.
Giant naked Tobin Bell. That poster terrified the shit out of me when I was 14. I would see that poster and be like, I don't know what they're doing, but it's that man is scary.
It's not even in the movie.
He's big.
It doesn't even factor into just kind of factor into the movie. But like, there's a really funny 3D sequence because, you know, back in the early days of 3D, there'd be so many movies where, like, the shots have to be like, oh, here's a 3D sequence where the bad guy builds a, like, torture roller coaster to, like, launch at this one person. It's like the dream sequence, and so clearly shots are like, oh, look at this crazy 3D action. Oh, the roller coaster is coming towards you. Oh, look, it's got a big knife. And then it's just like, oh, it's a dream sequence. But anyway, directed by Ashley Way. No way, yes way.
We need to go back a second. How does the giant naked Tobin Bell...
It's a movie about, like... trying to live up to Jigsaw's legacy, so it's like thematically, like, you know, oh, they're building like a shrine to Jigsaw, but these guys have to try and, like, live up to his legacy, because, spoiler alert, Jigsaw dies in, like, the third one, and then the rest of the movies
I know that.
Yeah, and then the rest
That's
of
why every movie yeah. after is like takes place in 2003. Yeah.
Mhm. It's they're silly movies. But Ashley Way, and then written by no one. It's not written by anyone according to this. Gertz, Blanketh, Blankertz. I don't understand. Yeah, in a sentence, Rani and Clyde wake up one morning to find that everyone has disappeared. It's briefly like rapturesque, and then they find two alien robots have removed everyone from the world to find an alien prince who turns to be a neglected teenager named Gavin, who is then brought home and returned. All the humans are returned. Gavin, can I say something before we launch into this? And you might disagree.
Sure.
I think the first episode was good. I think the first episode was really good.
Yes, and then, because there's very little Gavin.
Yeah, that, and also it's so, like I said this before, like, it's so effective at saying that, like, oh, everyone's gone. Like when Rani wakes up and like there's like just complete silence, and like you feel like everything like building up, and like there's no like music, there's nothing. It's just silence as she's walking around. That's really good. And it's the problem that every other fucking two-part has had recently, which is that like. Part two is just nonsense. There's nothing. Part two is just, it feels like, rather than being like, you know, part one and part two of a story, it feels like part 1.5. It feels like an extension of like it's going to be one episode, I think. It's going to be this one single episode that would have lost nothing, because like, part two is just the robots. All that happens in part two is the robots scan them and they're like, oh, we need to find the heir. And then they find Gavin and it's over, you know? It's just so...
It really does feel like, hey guys, we're about to wrap up this episode, and everyone goes, great, great job, everyone. And they're like, oh, the robots need to scan everybody. And you go, oh my God. Oh. All right, guys, now we're ready to wrap up this episode. Thank God. Oh, they can't see the Gavin.
I will
please.
I will say,
you were doing so well. Say what you're going to say. I have something I want to say after.
I will say the way they introduce the robots is really creepy. The way, like, you know, Clyde's looking through like a window and you see the reflection of one like walking around like through another window. I think that's really, really creepy and effective. I think it's really like the first part's really well done, and then Gavin fucking blunders in and it's like, okay. Okay.
Is there anything else?
Well, I have more points, but I'll let you say.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, I was like, wow, that was a very silly point. I was just waiting for it. And the thing I wanted to say is, so when they're all disappeared, everyone's disappeared, and they're like, what's going on? We don't know what's going on. And then they play, they're like, we hear trumpet noises, and I'm starting to go like, uh-oh, are we doing the rapture? Is this what we're doing? And then they never bring up the trumpets again, which makes me go, why were there trumpets? Like, I genuinely was like, what were they trying to? Because no characters go, trumpets, that's the rapture. We have been left behind because of the rapture. They never do that, right? They never make that connection. But they still have the fucking trumpets. So why?
I don't know. I'm just going to assume that was a... It's like when it happens, I'm like, oh, that's probably like a spaceship landing. But it's not. It's just like fucking whatever the fuck. The like Big Finish Rani stuff, from what I've heard, and I've only heard like the first episode of the first box set, and then I've heard the second box set. The vibe is very similar to this, mostly because it is just Rani and Clyde like hanging out, you know. But like, there's bits of this where it gets really interesting. Like in part one, where like Rani's like, "Oh, you know, we had the moral like obligation to help that guy, and all we do is like yell at him, 'Are you an alien? Are you an alien?'" And like, we really messed him up. Like, that stuff I think is really interesting. And then part two is them being like, "Oh, he's an alien. Gotta go find him." You know, it's like. It's just like, oh, I don't know. There's so many moments like because they're trying to set up like, you know, at the start you have like that thing of like, you know, Haresh comes in to talk to Rani, and then Clyde's mom goes and talk to Clyde, and setting up like, you know, oh, you know, like parent figures and like, you know, all this stuff. And then that never really factors into it again. Like, you have the thing with, like, you know, the guy's dad is obviously like an alien prince. But like, even at the end, you get that one thing, with that one scene of like Rani and Haresh, and then Clyde just kind of, you know, waltzes in and be like, oh, you know, I'm Lord Clyde. How you going? How's it going? How's it going? You know, there's no like, kind of wrap up to that idea.
Yeah.
I think what happens is that, it does all hinge on Gavin, and Gavin ultimately is kind of like, you know, they kind of drop the ball doing Gavin, I think. Also, his name is Gavin, so it just feels kind of weird to be like, you know, oh, it's Gavin.
Every time they say Gavin, I die on the inside. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I do not want to hear about this Gavin. Everyone is asking me about Gavin. I don't care about Gavin.
I've never heard of Gavin. I don't know a Gavin. The robots are cool, I think. The design of the robots. I don't know. Can you tell? We didn't really care.
Oh god!
Were the robots left over from a another?
Yeah, CBBC. I think they're the same robots that get used in Dinosaurs on the Spaceship. I'd have to double check that.
No, it's not. They don't look the same.
Hang on, I'm checking TARDIS stuff fandom.wiki.com. Scroll down to Gavin. Scroll down to world building. Scroll down to story notes. No, what they are is they're similar to the robots that end up being taken from CBBC show. Mission 2110.
I already regret asking. Let's move on.
I'm gonna look at the Gavin Wikipedia page while we're here. I want to see if Gavin Gavin has a very long page. It's kind of weird that they're like he has a very in-depth name. They're like, to hide him, we'll say he went to Australia. When, like, it's like, none of you knew who the fuck Gavin was. Who the fuck cares if Gavin's missing? Like,
who are you disguising him from? His aunt and uncle?
Mm-hmm.
They clearly don't care. Anyway, whatever.
Join us being fun. If you go on to Joe Mason's IMDb page, Joe Mason played Gavin. The overview says nickname Curlykins. As in Curlykins. Curlykins.
Say that again.
If you go on to Gavin's Wikipedia, Gavin's Wikipedia, Joe Mason played Gavin, and you go onto his IMDb page, and you go to the biography, and you go to overview, the only thing there is his nickname, which is Curlykins. There's like a mini bio saying he's known for Silent Witness, Sarah Jane Adventures, and The Headsman, and then it's just like overview, nickname, Curlykins. So if you want to know his nickname, it's Curlykins. He hasn't been in anything since.
I don't. Thank you, though.
I think he's retired from acting. That's unfortunate, Curlykins. I can check where he is on the IMDb Pro. Oh, the IMDb Pro Star Meter.
You don't need to do all that.
I wanted to know where he was.
I want to tell you something, though. I noticed that there's a... I was looking at the Sarah Jane Adventures Wiki page, and I noticed there's a game that Ronnie's in. And I wanted to tell you the plot of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith gets an emergency message from Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane got tricked by the trickster. Likely thing for him to do. He has opened a time portal. This causes a weakness in time and is draining life from Earth. The trickster is forcing humans to mine for minerals from rocks and soils which give him power. To defeat the trickster and restore the order in the chaotic world, a new community shelter has to be built on Earth. Therefore, Ronnie and Mr. Smith have to build a house with the best materials. The game is called Rocks and Soils. It is narrated by Ronnie. It is canon.
We gotta play that then.
My God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of I'm out of out of everything. Next week looks fun. Next week looks interesting. There's a magic guy in a shop, and there's Nazis, and there's Anne Boleyn, and there's
Say less.
Yeah.
Dak, please say less.
Actually, there's one thing we have to say. We didn't mention.
What?
One thing. We got a reference to Odd Bob the Clown, but it's only the Pied Piper version. It appears like 2 seconds. That made me laugh so much. When Clad's like, what can I say? We fought the Pied Piper. I was like, well, no, you didn't. You fought Odd Bob the Clown, but, you know.
I really thought when she was like, remember everything, Sarah Jane. And I just wanted that image of naked Colin Baker, the Flash, for a moment. Mm-hmm. just like in Fight Club. Just like, but, you don't know what you saw, but your brain did.
Oh, it's I just swallowed the water the wrong way. Oh my god,
it was so funny. Water made it go in the wrong way. Is that
I like reached up to, like, scratch myself, and whenever I pushed my chest, the water just went down the wrong way. No, that's my empty planet. I don't know what that means. Yeah, I don't know. It's empty, boring. I don't know. Gavin, Curligans. But yeah, I think that's all. It's all we got time for. All we want to have time for, anyway. Gavin. More like Gabin. Because we were gabbing away about, the Shan Sheath. The Shan Sheath, I will say, very good practical effect. Kind of appreciated how practical the Shan Sheath were. But they have a silly plot. We don't need to have that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Next time on Pod Tour Who Cast.
The tapestry of time is a fragile thing. But you understand that, don't you, Sarah Jane?
How do you know my name?
Oh, I know a great many things.
Who are you and what do you want?
I need your help to save the world. This is a time window, Sarah Jane.
Then how do we get back?
There is no choice in the matter. Have until the sands run out, or this world is doomed.
So this is like 1939 or something.
7th of June, 1941. Now keep your voice down.
Why, what are you looking at?
Germans.
Nazis.
Is this Buckingham Palace?
It is the Tower of London.
At last, I have you trapped.
We had best find more suitable attire for the Queen's new lady-in-waiting.
What year is this?
1889. No such thing as ghosts, you say.
Ta-da!
We cannot keep the time window open much longer.
Is it? 8 o'clock, that's it. That's when they say it starts.
If Sarah Jane and her friends do not return soon, they'll be trapped in the past. Forever.
What are you doing here? Saving the world?
She's exactly like you.
What's your name?
Ruby Wyatt.
You just used a biocooling spray on a meteor you couldn't possibly know had fallen to Earth.
Don't think I haven't met amateurs before.
Right, take that. No!
Wait till you see what I've got for you.
I've got killed.